Well, good morning. This October 22nd, 2023, Jay Martin here on my screen porch for another garden talk. And this one's a little bit delayed. And this morning, truth be told, I awoke with Gene about 4:30 a.m. and we departed from the Colonial Inn in Hillsboro, having had the privilege of being up there for a wedding weekend that I had the joy of officiating yesterday. And we chose to stay overnight and drive back in the morning, and I'm glad we did. It was a beautiful sunrise to the east. Had some wonderful praise and worship music going on. But I confess that as I arose, I had some butterflies, simply, you know, with all the moving pieces in place. And this morning's message, coincidentally, it relates to worry. So, Father, I just pray that whatever worries are on our worry plate, whatever anxieties fill our hearts, whatever butterflies are on our stomach, Lord, we learn yet again to bring them to the Prince of Peace, that we might find that peace that passes understanding amidst the worries and the craziness of this kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my passage this morning, and I'm going to actually abbreviate this garden talk a little bit. If you want the full message, you can go to our website or our Facebook page. And again, not trying to give you God light this morning, but it is 8:07, and I need to be in with a confirmation class in about 50 minutes, but this is so helpful to me. So I'm not doing this as a favor to you or just because it's part of my job, but just to get back into God's Word and roll through it in whatever pace it brings profit. So we are in Luke chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 22 through 34. Jesus, to his disciples, said this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds?" I want y'all to hear that this morning. How much more valuable are you to our Lord? He made you in his image than any of the beautiful creatures which roam about the earth, swim about the earth, fly above the earth. Continuing in verse 25, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing," that little thing being adding an hour to your life, "why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, the richest and wisest king in all of Israel's history, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these lilies. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things." Isn't that still true? And this is written a couple thousand years ago. The pagan world runs after what to eat, what to drink, all such things. And sometimes we do as well. And your Father knows that you need them. He knows what you need. Verse 31, one of several key verses here. "But seek his kingdom. Seek ye first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." And the last couple of verses are these. Verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." May God bless to our reading and our hearing and our understanding his holy word. So this is, you know, this is kind of a one-off message, meaning it could stand alone as many can. And it certainly relates to what I've been preaching the last couple of months is who do you know and why do you go and who do you know? And that relates to worry. You know, who do you go to when you worry? You know, who do you know that either multiplies your worry or brings peace? And why do we go to places that bring angst? Why not go to places that bring peace? And this curious little phrase that I had never really connected with before, which so speaks to my church. It says, "Little flock, do not fear, for the Father has given you the kingdom." The Father's given you the kingdom, and we need to talk way more about kingdom. Last week I confessed that I don't preach on kingdom enough, but the kingdom of God is different. It's different than the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world is about authority, and it's about taxes, and it's about, you know, luxury for rulers, and it's about, you know, bowing down and serving their needs. But the kingdom of God, flip side, upside down world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the maker of the universe, the one who could summon a legion of angelic host at the, he didn't even have to snap his fingers. He has to blink his eyes and think it. He chooses to rule by serving, by coming into the world at just the perfect time to pay the price, to win victory over the two chief enemies of his chosen ones, which is sin and death. He comes to win over sin and death. So how does this tie into worry? Even at this wedding last night, I had a dear friend who comes to me periodically with theological questions, and I delight in that. And she's like, what's going to happen in Gaza? What's going to happen with Hamas? What's going to happen with Israel? What happens to the Jews that don't believe in Jesus? What happens? What happens? What happens? And we're made to think that. We're made to ask those questions. And I've got another friend who, during these last weeks, will have folks come into his shop in downtown Little Washington, where you would never know anything's going on across the globe. And, you know, we need to pay attention to what's going on across the globe, but not be, you know, not be driven into a, you know, into a compound of angst or into a safe room of fear. And these folks will say, yeah, sure enough, signs of the times, the end is coming. Here, you know, the Lord's going to be here by Christmas. And he may, you know, but gosh, we need to remember what Jesus said. Only the Father knows the day or the hour. And every generation has trials and travails to face. And I am praying for Israel, and I'm praying for peace, and I'm praying against terrorism, and I'm praying for release of hostages and all the same things that concern you rightly. But what we do with worry is of high importance to God, and how we dispose of worry as a command is of high importance to God, and is that an imperative as a command? So I'm borrowing some notes from an amazing talk that Gene has given on a number of occasions over the years, and it relates to worry, and it relates to, you know, the whole metaphorical concept of a worry plate. And for some of us, our worry plate, and by saying that, I'm looking at a table on my porch, and I could see if I had little dessert plates set around, and here's my finance worry plate, and here's my adult children worry plate, and here's my what am I going to preach next week worry plate, and here's my, you know, what's going to happen to the Tar Heel football team after losing last night worry plate. And, you know, they're relatively big or small, sweet, bitter, but they're there. And, you know, and how I handle them has a lot to do with my obedience to the Lord, my surrender to the Lord, and my persistence in my faith. So, you know, whether your worry plate is a big old honking double chinette ready for Thanksgiving, sopping with gravy and all the goodies, and it's just laden, honestly, more than you can eat, oftentimes our worry plates are just that. So what do we do? Well, it's interesting that there's a kingdom word in this worry narrative, and the kingdom word comes twice, and it's hey, you know, I've come in kingdom, and I have given you, the Father's given you, little flock, given you kingdom to set perspective. You know, I'm looking at birds in my backyard, and I'm looking at a mom on my table on the screen porch, and so I've got flowers, I've got birds. They don't worry. The Lord cares for them, but they're not humans. They don't have as many responsibilities. Well, fair enough, but we have a God who loves us enough to know our needs. So here's some alliteration. You got the plate. You got the plate. So what are we going to do post-plate to deal with worries? We are going to reflect positively on the promises of God. Be positive because he knows your need. Trust God, and he will provide. God knows what you need. He sees you. So we must audibly and we must regularly say to Jesus, I know that you see me. To do so declares trust. It declares belief. And it is, and trust is not a snap of a finger reality. It's not getting a letter in the mail and going, okay, I trust that. It's not meeting a person for the first time and say, I'm going to trust you with my child, with my life, with my finance, with whatever. We build relationship, and that's what the Lord invites us into. He invites us to pursue him positively. And that's the next of the P's. And again, I'm going to be somewhat abbreviated this morning, but hang on to these. Be positive, for he knows you and he sees you. Pursue him. Seek first the Lord. You know, where's your focus? Hebrews 12, I quote it almost every week. You're running the race. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, you're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You know, hey, cast aside that which hinders, and that's clutter. Untangle yourself from sin, that which goes against God's law, and fix your eyes not on the Titanic ahead, the iceberg ahead, the war in the Middle East. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, perspective here. For he has taken on the cross and for the joy set before him and scorned its shame. Consider him who has shed blood for your benefit. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. He's gone before you. This gets back into what was preached during September and early October. Surrender and obedience and persistence is a path to peace and is a path out of an overloaded worry plate. A biblical narrative relates to the third of the P's. So we've got positive pursuit. And next is pouring out. Pouring out. Jesus doesn't say, don't worry, go get it done. He said, pour out what you're worrying about. Dump it out before me. There in the first of two books called Samuel in the Old Testament, there is a woman named Hannah. And it's a polygamous culture, and Hannah is married to a man who also has another wife, and her nickname would be Penny. And Penny has multiple children, and Hannah has none. And Penny mocks Hannah for being barren, and, you know, kind of in that culture, if you're barren, you must have done something wrong, your daddy did something wrong. But nonetheless, Hannah is beside herself with grief, and she yearns, she pours out, she longs for the Lord's blessing, for the Lord's favor, for the Lord's remembrance. And so she pours out. She pours out to the point where, you know, somebody sees her and accuses her of, like, being ridiculous or being drunk. Beyond the pouring out, she comes out of her place of pouring, and her face is radiant and is no longer downcast. I sat with a woman last week who was pouring out over a hard work situation, and it was not fixed at the end of the conversation, and it was nothing I said, but the fact that she had someone there to listen and to pour out brought some relief of taking that which is dark and pouring it out and bringing it into the light. So we pour our hearts out. We pour our hearts out, and in doing so, you know, we cast all our anxieties on the Lord. Paul talks about this in Philippians 4. He says, you know, pray without ceasing. Cast your anxieties upon the Lord. Paul's in prison at this moment. And in this time of imprisonment, he says, when you pour out your heart, when you cast your anxieties, the God of peace will guard your hearts. And the word for guard, then, and this is where it's helpful to have somebody who knows Greek. Wasn't me in this case. It was a scholarly research that of someone else who said the word guard literally meant like a military guard around a heart. A garrison, not just a solitary guard who might fall asleep or who you're trusting in one. You're trusting in a garrison. You're trusting in an innumerable heavenly host to guard our hearts with peace if we pour out. If we pour out. What's on your worry plate? I know there's something, and it's okay wherever you are. If you're driving down the road, you name it. Name three or four things. You know, ask yourself the question, do I trust God with these things? Well, the good Sunday school answer would be to say yes, but our practical activities would say no. I let it govern me, distract me. I let it keep me up. I let it tune me into, you know, news ad nauseum that feeds my fear rather than points me to the Prince of Peace. Are we pursuing Him? Are we pursuing Him regularly? Are we getting up in the morning, spending time in His Word, spending time on our knees, modeling what the Father, what the Son modeled for us? Are we pouring out with all of our hearts? And are we trusting? Are we trusting that He will put His power into practice? Are we trusting that He will put His power into practice? Brief message this morning. I'm going into church here momentarily. Realize that you have kingdom eyes and kingdom perspective. Realize that concerns and troubles do come. Romans 8 says, as we become sons and daughters of God, we share in His sufferings. Am I worried about suffering? I don't want to suffer. You know, what's going to happen to the Achilles? What's going to happen as we age? What's going to happen with folks who have cancer, whom we know so well? We're not alone. We're not alone. And we have a history with a God, Jehovah Jireh, who provides. Look back in the rear view. Remember when God was clutch. Remember when God showed up, not just in the pages of Scripture, but in the pages of your own life and in your own journey or those around you. We have a responsibility to reflect the glory that God pours into us, which is to take what has besieged us, which He then takes on Himself, turns into blessing, and as we share those stories of hope, hope with skin on, then we are an ambassador of faith to those in need and in the lands of darkness. Pour your heart out as Hannah did on a regular basis. Pray on your face. Cry out, literally, with tears, as you were called to cry out with joy and praise, and put His power into practice. And that garrison that may have once been a men with a couple of bows and arrows or whatever will become the strong tower, the mighty fortress, which God promises throughout His Word and which we see lived out in the lives of believers who have lived, who have struggled, and who have even died with joy because of the Prince of Peace that guards their hearts. Do not worry, little flock, for he has given his kingdom to you. Amen.